Hey everyone, Gareth from Wall of Sound here. Just recently, I had the pleasure of catching up with Sam Vellon, lead guitarist of Brisbane prog rockers Caligula's Horse. We had a chat about the new album, Rise Radiant. So here it is. This is Sam Vellon from Caligula's Horse.
Let's talk music. New record out, which is why we're here. It's got to be a weird, and I don't want to dwell on, you know, exactly what's happening in the world right now, but it's got to be a weird thing releasing an album with no actual plans to tour it.
Yeah, it's a bizarre time to release an album. I mean, you've seen a lot of bands kind of globally either postpone album releases or, you know, treat this as a very different time in their career, doing things like live concerts, streaming and so forth. We very early on had that discussion because, of course, we finished recording this album, or rather we finished sort of the mix and master, you know, the final stages of the album, right as murmurs of coronavirus were emerging. So, you know, think kind of early December last year.
Yeah.
And we were pretty set from the beginning on saying, well, look, if this thing is bad, of course, we didn't really know at the time. It was important to us that even if the gesture that we're offering is just our little album, you know, thrown out into the big wide world, that was still something that we thought was quite important in the context of, you know, a world in quarantine, a world with, you know, higher levels of depression. I don't know if you've seen some of the crazy statistics that have come out of all of this. Yeah. We thought the small gesture we could offer is just say, look, the album is still coming out. You know, we're not doing some indefinite delay on its release with no end in sight, potentially. It's still going to come out. And as you rightly said, we unfortunately had to do that without any concrete touring plans. You would have seen, of course, before all of the coronavirus stuff, we had some very concrete touring plans, unfortunately, in place. In fact, we had probably the most well-laid plans we've ever had for touring. We hadn't announced a lot of it, of course. But we basically had a full year or so of touring set up already. Wow. So when all of that happened, we sort of said, okay, well, you know, obviously all of that is going to have to be postponed for the time, especially until we sort of know the situation, know what the ramifications of the fallout will be. But we didn't really see it as a reason to not put music out. You know, it sounds hopelessly naive, but if the worst part of all of this is that fans have, you know, 3 months, 6 months, even longer with the album before we get to come to their shores, at least they're going to know the songs by then, you know. And again, at least we're able to do the very small gesture that we can, put the album out, make sure that we, you know, it's not yet another rug pulled out from underneath for those people for whom it matters.
Yeah.
That was important to us.
Yeah, I guess it's if there is a tiny silver lining, there's not many. It's you can play a new song and go, we're going to play a new song now, and you won't
it's
get half
a new song anymore.
You won't get half of the venue heading to the bar to go, oh yeah, I'm just here for the old stuff. When you're writing, do you guys like, okay, intense session, we're gonna lock the doors in the studio and no one leaves until the album's finished, or is it sort of a, do you ride on the road? How does it go?
I honestly wish it were a bit more, you know, circumscribed like that, because the truth is it can spiral out into some pretty protracted periods of recording. But now, for the most part, the recording, the actual creative process that we've taken is one that is quite efficient and quite regular. That is to say, I'll usually sort of come up with, you know, something. It could be a riff, it could be a harmony, it could be a melody, it could be any kind of little musical construct, a little snippet of a song. And usually once I'm convinced that that's something that's worthwhile, because of course many more of those are cast aside than kept, as you can imagine. But when I'm fairly convinced it's worthwhile, Jim, our vocalist, and I usually start working on it very early. And we do that intentionally. We like the idea that when we're developing lyrics and we're developing vocal melodies and we're developing our song structures, you know, the sort of bigger picture view of a song, we are doing so in a holistic manner. You know, it's not music that then has lyrics added to it. It's rather this creative process that takes both of those into account, and at least we hope then creates something that feels a little more like the parts are intrinsically linked. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, couldn't have one without the other.
Yeah.
So at that stage, we start to develop the song from the ground up. You know, we'll be talking about how does it fit together? What is this particular part in the bigger picture of the song structure? What's the song about? You know, like all of those kind of conversations come up as early as we can possibly seed them, because the earlier we do that, the more time we really have to temper those different kind of directions and the ideas that are floating around that we can maybe draw from. Now, the beauty is, and this is, I suppose, the difference between Rise Radiant and previous records, especially in Contact, is everyone in the band has had a hand in the writing in this case. So I think, let me just see if I remember all of these. So Adrian came up with an idea that was kind of germinative to Salt, the third track. Josh wrote Ocean Rise with me. We actually wrote a lot of that on the two of us in Europe, funnily enough. Okay. Funny because you sort of mentioned, you know, you're doing it on the road. That was really a rare example of where we did. And then let me think, Dale wrote The Tempest with us.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So having kind of those contributions to different songs ended up feeling like feeling like we were able to arrange in ways that maybe we hadn't in the past. I always think of myself not like my strength isn't the creation of the musical ideas. I think my strength in the band comes more from the arranging and the production, being able to put these things together into, you know, the best song it can possibly be. And having other people contribute was really liberating in that sense, because those ideas, even if they're small ideas, can still be things that can then be developed into whatever they are best developed into. At least that's kind of my hope. So that's kind of the biggest change, I think, that this album has had. But in terms of the actual approach that we've taken, it's quite similar to how we've always done it. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen with, you know, a door locked and like three weeks straight of writing. I wish it did. Instead, it's something that we do over the course of maybe, you know, 4 or 5 months. This album being especially difficult in that regard, because I had become like right in the end phases of the writing the last sort of 6 months or so, I became a father for the first time.
Hey, congratulations.
And I also had to finish the writing of my doctorate in the same period. So did all of that and wrote the album in, you know, a period of sort of 6 months. I mean, admittedly, it nearly killed me, but you know, all of it worked and it was great, and I wasn't too much of an absentee father for that period. In fact, I was actually a stay-at-home father for a lot of it as well. So it ended up being one of these things that kind of suffuses the record. I'm sure you've heard the almost the cliche of a record sounds like the time you had making it.
Yeah.
And the beauty is that when you do have these kind of challenges, in sort of affecting your own process during it, the beauty is that now when I look at this album, you know, I look at like, you know, learning to become a father, I look at finally seeing this big silly project in my doctorate in the past, like all of that kind of stuff is great. It might be hard at the time, but in retrospect it's beautiful.
Being a father, you know, changes you fundamentally. Well, it did for me. Did it sort of, as you said, you're at the end of the process of making the album, did it make you look at it in a different sort of way? Or
So much so. In fact, it has a really, well, actually an explicit imprint on the album. So the songs, the last two songs on the record, Autumn and The Ascent, are actually musing on fatherhood. It was literally Jim and I saying, hey, you know, let's explore this thing properly. Now, Jim had become a father around the release of our previous album, actually a little before that, but we wrote a song called Graves, which kind of dealt with a lot of the misgivings that, that he'd felt, and a lot of the beauty and a lot of the wonder that he'd experienced. But we wanted to put some songs together that were really more of a musing on what it sort of meant to us to become fathers. And Autumn and The Ascent are two songs that explore two different sides of that. So Autumn was supposed to be this sort of exploration of the ambition, you know, like what you're sort of thinking bringing a child into the world will mean to you, how it will affect you, and, you know, sort of the beauty of all of that. Whereas The Ascent was instead an exploration of, I suppose, the reality of becoming a father and this amazing feeling that both of us shared, wherein, you know, you no longer really matter in the same way that you did beforehand, because your child is now where all of your energy exists.
Yeah.
And we sort of, we ended up playing with this idea of, it's almost a little bit of a cliche metaphor at heart, but the idea of climbing a mountain. And if you're climbing a mountain with your child, the expectation at some point is that your journey isn't to reach the summit. Your journey is to help your child reach the summit. Yep. You know, you become at some point the person just hopefully creating the beacons or creating the, you know, the loops, the markers, whatever it is that guides them. At the end of the day, the expectation is that, you know, they will do greater things than you by virtue of the fact that that's what they need to do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And by greater things, I don't mean that in a lofty sense or anything. I just mean they will succeed you. You know, they are much more important because they will outlive you in that sense. So we kind of explored all of that in The Ascent. It's a song sort of about climbing a mountain, but really it's more a song about, you know, setting things up for your child. You know,
making it so
you don't need to be... you don't need to be the person who's, you know, kicking all the goals anymore. Maybe they can be, and maybe they can do it even with just a small amount of your help, as insignificant as it sometimes will be.
Yeah.
That's a very tangible way that it affected me. But at the same time, it was also one of these awesome things. I remember Jim talking about this actually back in the writing of In Contact, where it's like, you know, maybe I can create something that could mean something to my son, Jack, because he can sort of see this album that was created when he was, you know, when he was born, when all of this was fresh in me. And as I said, that cliche of an album sounds like the time you had making it. Well, this really is a snapshot of you know, my experiences, I suppose, becoming a father, to bring it to me for a moment. But then also the very moment that he, you know, gained personhood, I suppose, and you know, all the changes that kind of brought into all of our lives, his included.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. Also the longest song on the album.
Probably no coincidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a hell of a journey. So, yeah. One thing that you guys do, I think, really well is the whole package. So, there's the songs, there's the music, and there's the artwork as well. And it's not, you know, if you said to someone, oh, who's Caligula's Horse? They're a prog metal, prog rock band, and you expect something quite proggy on the front cover. Have some, you know,
a Roger Dean album cover.
Yeah.
Yes album or something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, something like that, because that's what prog should be. But you guys kind of do that. You do the whole thing. I mean, Rise Radiant. There's a it's a beautiful landscape, and there's a, I'm going to say it's a deer on there. I hope it's a deer. It looks like a deer.
It is.
And that's, I mean, and that goes across with it, especially when you release the vinyl. Is that sort of, is that the, do you guys sit down and is that part of the process as well? We want it to, we know what it's, we want it to sound like this. We also want it to look like this.
Yeah. And I mean, there's even a further zoom out you could take, which is that we also, much like we like to create some kind of sense of difference album to album, it's also really important to us that the artwork doesn't feel like it's kind of a repetition or it's a reiteration. Yeah. A lot of bands take very seriously the idea that, you know, their whole branding is kind of a part of their identity, you know, having the same aesthetic, the same color scheme, stuff like that. I actually explicitly like the opposite to be true. I like the idea that each album has this identity that is all encompassing. The music is marginally different in whatever manners it is, and the artwork hopefully captures that music and in a perfect world highlights why it's different to the music which preceded it. Rise Radiant was a really tricky one to devise the artwork for because, well, you know, we knew what the themes of the record were, you know, some of them that I just talked about. We had a couple of really simple bylines that we would relate the album to be. So, for example, we described the album as being about getting back up again. We described the album as being about, you know, perseverance, about personal experience and all of the stuff that we kind of share as humans, you know, things like fatherhood being one of these very human things that many people experience. We realized how, frankly, on the nose a lot of that type of you know, poetic language can be when translated into a visual medium. You know, it can be beautiful when you're writing about it and when you're doing your best to sort of avoid cliches and things, but the moment you talk about like a phoenix rising or something like that, it's something that's been done so many times before that we really wanted no part in it. So we had the album title, we had those themes like you know, overcoming anxiety or overcoming depression. We had themes like dealing with legacy, themes like dealing with, you know, the ways your life changes throughout it. Obviously, fatherhood being a really good example of that for us. And we wanted to try and translate that into something that was not too on the nose. So what we ended up doing is we ended up, this is going to sound very, very strange just coming out with this, but Jim and I had this big brainstorm where we came to a North American national park ephemera. So we love this again. Sorry for just throwing that out with no preface. But we really like the idea of the way national park posters are kind of treated in America, where it's like oftentimes the subject isn't actually the subject. You know, you've got an animal in the foreground, but really it's the whole of the picture that matters. And I don't know if you can sort of visualize in your mind the particular art style I'm talking about. It's really beautiful, really very, very, very common to, you know, places like Colorado and sort of the northern parts of California where all those national parks are. If you look up, you know, Yosemite National Park, you'll see what I mean. But we started with that as a way of saying, okay, the subject of the image is the one that's, you know, experiencing X. X could be a stand-in for any of the things we were talking about. And we wanted to somehow abstractly indicate that there was challenge in the distance. Not challenge that would be faced today, not challenge that would be faced tomorrow, but challenge that is there to be overcome when one is ready to do so. So we thought, well, let's just put a hostile landscape in the distance. And obviously it made a lot of sense with that kind of national park aesthetic to make that landscape a mountain. Which just happens to be, you know, beautifully indicative of kind of the ascent and some of the extended metaphor we explored there. But what we did is we made sure that the buck or the deer in the foreground, you know, it's not really the subject of the image. It's facing away from the viewer. You know, it's looking towards this challenge in the far distance. And the whole image has this almost hyper-realistic quality to it. You know, nothing really feels like it is an indication of, a representation of real life. You know, it's not a photo. It's a rendering of that. So we thought that was sort of far enough away from any explicit language that it wouldn't feel too directly related to the lyrics, and thus would allow the person looking at it to maybe, you know, imbue their own interpretation on it. And of course, the other side of it is that we just thought it was aesthetically beautiful as we started developing it, and it summed up a lot of the kind of a lot of the musical and lyrical themes that we were really trying to get across with this album. That is to say, things can be dark, things can be heavy, but there's always an underlying sense of optimism to it. We really hate, I listen to a lot of dark music as well, of course, but we really hate when we find ourselves reveling, you know, in darkness. Darkness is really great, especially as a contrast, as a juxtaposition. You can't have, you know, light without dark. So we like to make sure that our music at the end of the day and our lyrics as well always have this sense of optimism to them. And we thought that the album cover did a beautiful job of conveying that. And that's a way that it is distanced maybe from something like In Contact, which is a slightly darker set of images. So that's a couple of different angles through which we approach the album art. But, you know, suffice to say, we obsess over the aesthetic of it. Really do our best to try and make sure that not only does it feel nice in its own right, but it also creates a sense of, I suppose, like coherency, consistency with all of the other elements of the record, musical and lyrical.
It's something that kind of got lost, I think, during the CD era, and I thought it was going to be lost entirely once, you know, download started and then Spotify and all that sort of thing. But it's actually, it's come back, and it's actually great. There's a lot of bands now that are actually putting that sort of effort. Because I don't know what you make
it
on.
It matters.
And it gives the fans something to, they go, well, I'm going to spend $40 on a LP now. And I get this whole experience rather than, you know, $14.99 a month and just stream it through Spotify. And you guys would be lucky if you got, you know.
Yeah, we get cents.
Cents. Yeah.
No, it's very true. I love what you say as an experience, because that's exactly how we kind of see it. Like, if you think about the musical and you think about the paramusical, so all of the things that are, you know, intrinsically related to the album but yet aren't actually the music, they all still have this amazing effect in terms of the experience that you take from the record overall. I love looking at album art. I love looking at, you know, album art that has a lot of care put into it, and obviously has as much kind of artistic thrust to it as the music does, maybe, you know. Yeah. It's true that it does seem to be somewhat rarer. Certainly there was a dark age of it, as you say. Mm. But, you know, the resurgence of vinyl, the resurgence of this interest in having not only a physical media, but a physical media that is, again, as you say, like much more tangible than a CD is, and, you know, far more tangible than that little 300x300 pixel image that you get in the Spotify window, you know. So I think it's lovely, and, you know, whether we are an exception there or not, I'm not really sure, but I couldn't really imagine working on, you know, the art that is the music we design without thinking about the other elements of that art and how it's presented. It's very important to me and us, for sure.
Yep. And it shows not just in Rise Radiant, but across that. So with that, we can expect Rise Radiant, which is out on the 22nd. We can expect a vinyl album straight off the bat?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what's funny. It's like we've been looking at, like, you know, pre-orders and stuff all over the world. Vinyl records are doing, like, you know, almost as well as CDs in a lot of territories. Yeah. And it's just a reminder of how great that demand is. Mm. But yeah, we go out of our way to make sure that's true. Unfortunately, vinyl pressings do end up going out of print pretty quickly because they're so expensive. Yeah. So, you know, our advice is always, if you want one, get one. We've still got people coming up to us at gigs going, when the hell are we going to be able to get Bloom on LP? And us saying, hopefully soon. Yeah. You know, it's just a matter of time. But yeah, it's great to see that, and we do go out of our way to make sure that's available, for sure.
So if you want Rise Radiant on vinyl, then you should pre-order it now.
Yeah, absolutely. get it as soon as you can. That's not just me sales pitching. I mean, it kind of is.
Buy this album.
It is also very true. I mean, ask anyone who's been hanging out for that Bloom vinyl for, you know, a year now.
Yeah. Rise Radiant's out on the 22nd of May.
That's right.
Which is probably
like just over a week.
About a week, which, yeah, looking forward to the release. I know you guys are looking forward to
can't wait
getting it out there. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me at Wall of Sound. It's been an absolute pleasure.
My pleasure too. I'm going to go off and get my little son to bed now. It's going to be great.
Go and be a dad. It's the best thing ever.
Yes, indeed. All right. Lovely chat. Great questions. And it was a really good conversation. Thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you. That was great. That was awesome. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. All right. I'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
Absolutely. See ya.
See you, mate.